This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillahi aliyyi dhati azim sifati sami simati kabir al-sha'n jalil al-qadir rafi' al-dhikri muta' al-amri jalil al-burhan faqim al-ism ghazil al-ilmi wasil hilmi kathir al-ghufran جميل الثناء جزيل عطاء مجيب الدعاء عميم الإحسان سريع الحساب شديد العقاب أليم العذاب عزيز السلطان ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له في الخلق والأمر ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله المبعوث إلى الأسود والأحمر المنعوت بشرح الصدر ورفع الذكر وصلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه الذين هم خلاصة العرب العرباء وخير الخلائق بعد الأنبياء أما بعد فيا أيها الناس وحدوا الله فإن توحيد الرسول طاعات واتقوا الله فإن التقوى ملاك الحسنات وعليكم بالسنة فإن السنة تهدي إلى الإطاعة ومن أطاع الله ورسوله فقد رشد واهتدى وإياكم البدعة فإن البدعة تهدي إلى المعصية ومن يعص الله ورسوله فقد ضل وغوى وعليكم بالإحسان فإن الله يحب المحسنين وادعوه فإنه مجيب الداعين واستغفروه يمددكم بأموال وبنين أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إلا الذين تابوا وأصلحوا وبينوا فأولئك يتوب الله عليهم وأنا فأولئك أتوب عليهم وأنا التواب الرحيم. A topic and a subject that we speak about quite often from the Quran, from the guidance provided by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it's a topic that we revisit frequently, that is the topic of forgiveness. The topic of the forgiveness of Allah, the mercy of Allah. And while that is, as I mentioned, from the book of Allah, from the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and therefore, it's a very important topic for us to discuss, and it's something that we should revisit frequently. However, the discussion, if it stops at talking about the forgiveness of Allah and speaking about the mercy of Allah, and we stop the discussion there, it is an incomplete discussion. Because in the Quran, in numerous verses, I quoted ayah number 60 from Surah Al-Baqarah, where Allah says, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَابُوا, except for those people who repented. وَأَصْلَحُوا, and then they corrected. وَبَيَّنُوا, and then they redeemed themselves. In Surah Ali Imran, in ayahs 89 and 90, again Allah says, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَابُوا مِن بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ, except for those people who repented after they committed wrong. وَأَصْلَحُوا, and then they corrected. They course corrected. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ, then indeed Allah is forgiving and merciful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala similarly says in Surah Ali Imran in ayah 135, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ, they did wrong. They committed an atrocious act. They did something sinful and bad. ذَكَرُوا اللَّهَ, then they remembered their Lord, they remembered Allah. فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ, and they asked forgiveness for the wrong that they committed. But Allah does not stop there. He says, وَمَنْ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, who can forgive sins except for Allah? وَلَمْ يُسِرُّوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلُوا, but then they did not persist on doing whatever activity they were previously involved with, which is a different way of saying they course corrected. And the verses go on and on. In Surah Al-Ma'idah, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَابُوا وَأَصْلَحُوا. So repeatedly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Qur'an does not stop the discussion, the conversation at seeking forgiveness. Allah does not end the conversation there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always takes it a step further. The very famous ayat from Surah Al-Furqan, إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا, that they repented, they believed, and then they did good. فَأُولَٰئِكَ يَتُوبُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ, those are the people that Allah will grant redemption to. So there is a second part of this discussion and conversation that is very important. And obviously you can't have the level two discussion unless you've had the level one discussion. But after a certain point of us talking about the forgiveness of Allah, the mercy of Allah, we need to graduate to the level where we talk about redemption. How do we redeem ourselves? The hadith of the Prophet ﷺ even talks about it, that Allah will wipe away the Allahu yumhi athar al-dhunub. Yes, when we seek Allah's forgiveness and He showers us with His mercy, Allah will wipe away the effects of those sins, but I have not yet pulled myself out of the hole that I'm in. And that is a responsibility Allah puts on me. I have to redeem myself. I have to find a way to correct my own course. I have to find a way to make something better of myself. And that's a very, very important part of this discussion and conversation. When we look in the Quran, as I've presented a number of different ayats, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to talk about this, that فَإِن تَابَ وَأَصْلَحَ فَأَعْرِضُ عَنْهُمَا, that if they repent and then they correct what they were previously involved in. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes as far in Surah An-Nisa to say, وَأَخْلَصُوا دِينَهُمْ لِلَّهِ. So they sought forgiveness. They banked on the mercy of Allah, that Allah is forgiving and Allah is merciful. And Allah's mercy is all-encompassing. And Allah's forgiveness knows no limitations. Absolutely. Certainly. But then after that, they do good. And not only do they do good, but then they strive in excelling. They strive to excel in doing good. وَأَخْلَصُوا دِينَهُمْ لِلَّهِ. That what comes after is far better than what was there before they committed whatever mistake they committed. And when you look at our history, you look at the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, the same people who many of us are named after, that we name our children after, the people that we revere, the people that we look up to, the people that we admire. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. All of these remarkable people. These are not only just stories of forgiveness and mercy. They are, but that's not all they are. They are also stories of redemption. These are people who redeemed themselves. These were people who were not satisfied with, okay, I said, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, right? Like the famous conversation the Prophet ﷺ had with Khalid bin Walid, with Amr bin al-As, and Uthman bin Abi Talha, radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Where they came to the Prophet ﷺ after 2 decades of opposing him and fighting against him. And when they felt embarrassed and ashamed of what they had done in the past, and the Prophet ﷺ said to them the very famous hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, إِنَّ الْإِسْلَامَ يَهْدِمُ مَا كَانَ قَبْلَهُ, that Islam wipes away, removes everything that was there before the moment that you became Muslim. That's a very important lesson the Prophet ﷺ taught us on that day. But the lesson doesn't end there. At that point, these individuals, Khalid bin Walid, Amr bin al-As, they could have stopped there. But they said, no. What can I do now to redeem myself? Right? The Wahshi, the very interesting figure from the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ, who basically was an assassin for hire. And he was the one who pulled the trigger when it came to the assassination, the shahada, of the uncle of the Prophet ﷺ, Hamza radiallahu anhu. And after he becomes Muslim, he then strives, now defending Islam, defending the deen of Allah. So much so from his own words, as mentioned in numerous narration, Ibn Hajar mentions in Al-Isaba, that Wahshi then says, because my hands were the ones who ended the life, were the means of the ending of the life of one of the best people that ever walked this earth, Hamza. I needed to contribute and make up for that, redeem myself. And it was his hands that were the means of removing from the earth one of the most evil people that has ever walked this earth, Musaylimah al-Kadhab, the false prophet, who threatened and challenged our Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He felt this need. And we have to think about what that implies. That yes, I have put myself, I have humbled myself before my Lord. I have said, oh Allah, I admit it. I confess to it. Istighfar is a kind of confession to Allah. Oh Allah, I did make a mistake. I first have to humble myself. I have to ask Allah for forgiveness. Acknowledge and understand. And nadmu tawbah. I have to know deep down inside my being that I have made a mistake and I have done something wrong. And when I do that, the doors of Allah's mercy shall open for me and will shower down upon me and will absolve me. And absolution is a big thing. If any of us can achieve that, by the time we've departed from this world, that in and of itself is a victory. Make no mistake. We're not denying any of that. That the absolution is absolutely necessary and a huge blessing of Allah and gift from Allah. But if I have been given life after that moment of absolution, if I still have the opportunity to have my eyes open, then what I should then strive for is redeeming myself in the eyes of my Lord and doing something good with the opportunity that I've been given. وَأَصْلَحُ وَأَخْلَصُوا دِينَهُمْ لِلَّهِ. That I will make something better of myself. And I wanted to share a really fascinating event and story that illustrates this in a very, very real practical way. Because a lot of times we can talk about something theoretically as we've been, but it becomes a little bit harder to relate and connect to. So sometimes it helps to look at a practical example. So there's this incident that is related. It's from the second century of Islam, and it occurs in the city of Basra, a classical city in Iraq that was the base of the spread of Islam and much of the learning happening in the Muslim world at that time. And there's a young man who lives there in the city of Basra, and he's a very, you know, handsome, charismatic, very, you know, talented young man. So naturally, he's very popular. He's surrounded by a lot of friends. But he's fallen into the wrong company. Some of the accounts of his life seem to allude to the absence of a father. It's just him and his mother. So with the absence of the father, maybe there's been nobody to kind of discipline him and train him, raise him properly. So he's basically fallen into the wrong company. He's gotten into trouble and he's roaming the streets. Kathir al-sharab. He's drinking and intoxicating, getting into fights and making trouble. One particular day, he is waiting for some of his buddies. And in the old cities, they would have like these gates and tunnels and walkways. So one of the main tunnels and the main gates that leads into the old city, he's just sitting down there by the gate, waiting for some of his buddies to arrive. And even his physical condition kind of tells you probably the state and the condition that he's in. He's not wearing a shirt. He's only wearing an izar. Basically, imagine he's only wearing pants. His pants are red as well for some reason. And he's got no shirt on. And he's just sitting there. And as he's sitting there, this older gentleman is walking in the direction of the tunnel, the gate. And this older gentleman's walking, and behind him is a throng of people around him and behind him. There's a huge group of people. And they all seem very like walking respectfully, quietly. They also seem like very respectful people. And as he gets close and he sees he's got this old man's got this huge crowd with him, he is just used to this, you know, being in this mode of making trouble. So he stands up and he blocks the way of the old man. He goes and he sits down in the middle of the road, blocking the way of the old man. So the old man, he stops and he says that, you know, we'd like to pass by. And so he says to him, he says, Man hada? Who's this? Who's telling me to move? So someone in the crowd says to him, Hada Shu'bah. This is Al-Imam Shu'bah. And Shu'bah ibn al-Hajjaj, who passed away in the year 160 after Hijrah, he is one of the great early scholars of this ummah, particularly scholars of hadith. He narrated hadith from some of the giants of the, you know, the seniors of the era of the tabi'un, people like Amr bin Dinar and many others. And so he's known as a major giant of knowledge in his time and in his era. His own contemporary, Sufyan al-Thawri, calls him Amir al-Mu'mineen fil hadith. His students, he learned from Qatada, the student of the Sahaba. And his own students are known to us as the pioneers of Islamic knowledge, people like Abdullah bin Mubarak. So he's a very respected senior scholar. So someone says, Hadha Shu'bah. This is Al-Imam Shu'bah. And he goes, Way Shu'bah? What's a Shu'bah? Right? Being disrespectful. Making trouble. That's what he knows. So they said, Muhaddith. He is a scholar of hadith. He teaches people the life of the Prophet ﷺ. So he stands up and he says to him, Haddithni. Teach me a hadith. You're a muhaddith, right? Teach me a hadith. Again, being facetious. So Shu'bah says to him, he says, Ma anta min ashab al hadith. He says, young man, look at you. You are not behaving like the people who study the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. He says, really? فَأَشْهَرَ سِكِّينَهُ. So he basically makes this gesture. Right? In Texas, we know what that gesture means, right? So he shows him his knife, his dagger. And he says, huh? حَدِّثْنِي. Teach me a hadith. Threatens him with his weapon. Shu'bah doesn't blink. He doesn't flinch. He doesn't bat an eye. Gathers himself, takes a deep breath. And he says, okay, you want to know a hadith? He says, حَدَّثَنِي مَنْصُورٌ عَنْ رِبِعِي عَنْ أَبِي مَسْعُودِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ قَالَ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِذَا لَمْ تَسْتَحِي فَاسْنَعْ مَا شِئْتَ. He says that the Prophet ﷺ said that if you lose your shame, then do whatever it is you want. Such a powerful hadith of the Prophet. When this young man hears this and he understands what he's saying, he's intelligent. You've lost all your shame. You pick a fight with an old man, then you act a fool in the middle of the street. And now you're playing games with the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ? You've lost all your shame, your sense? Fine, do whatever you want. You want to stab me? Stab me. Do whatever you want. When he hears this, this young man, Rama sakinahu, he throws his knife to the ground. He turns around and just walks away. He goes home and he enters into his home. He has alcohol, wine, in his home. He pours all of it down the drain. Then he washes and cleans himself. He gets dressed. He packs a small bag. He goes to his mother. And he says to his mother, As-sa'a ashabi yaji'una fadkhulihim wa qaddimi at-ta'ama ilayhim. That my friends will come looking for me in a little while. When they come, invite them in, feed them some food. فَإِذَا أَكَلُوا, once they are done eating, فَخْبِرِيهِمْ, then tell them, بِمَا عَمِلْتُ بِالشَّرَبْ, then tell them that I have thrown away all my wine, حَتَّى يَنْصَرِفُوا, and then let them leave. And he bid farewell to his mother, and he picked up his bag, and he went straight and hit the road, and did not stop until he reached Medina, Al-Madinatul Munawwara. He went there, he repented, vowed to change his life. And once he arrived there in Medina, he found that there was a great scholar, a great pious man in Medina, a true embodiment of the Sunnah. So he went to him and he said, "Sir, let me learn from you." And that scholar took him under his wing. And that great scholar was Imam Malik ibn Anas, the great Imam Malik, Alim al-Madinah. And he spent the next 30 years being his student. He spent the next 30 years being his student. And at the end of those 30 years, he himself had become such a scholar that he would eventually become the teacher of Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim, to name a few. Bukhari and Muslim would travel from Central Asia all the way to Medina to narrate a hadith from this young man that we talked about. And his name is Abdullah ibn Maslama al-Qa'nabi. He went on to pass away in the year 230 after Hijrah. But this is the story of redemption. This is what I'm talking about. This is what I need to focus on. This is what I need to learn. This is what I need to think about. That I have made mistakes. And to err is human. Kullu bani adam khatta. To err is human. We'll all make mistakes. And step number one, lesson number one, I need to admit my mistake to Allah. Astaghfirullah. Wa atubu ilayhi. Oh Allah, I messed up. I did wrong. I need to repent internally. I need to feel bad for what I did. I need to think about what I've done and how it's not right. And then we oftentimes talk about the third step is وَأَنْ يَعْزِمَ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا يَعُودَ إِلَيْهِ أَبَدًا. And I have the intention to never go back to that sin ever again. But the further part of that, the next part of that is, and then I'm going to do something good with the opportunity that Allah has given me. The fact that I'm still alive, the fact that I've been able to repent and realize the error of my ways while I'm still alive, while I'm still in this world, and I have the ability to speak, and I have the ability to walk, and I have the ability to talk, I still have resources available to me, I've been blessed with all these talents, what am I going to do with all this? I need to try to build. I've torn down for long enough. Now I need to build. And I will redeem myself. And I will do something remarkable with the ability and the opportunity Allah has given me. And that's where I found this amongst the thousands and thousands of stories in our tradition, in our history, in our heritage. I found this to be very inspirational because you have a young man wasting his life away and making trouble. That's nothing new. But when he repents, when he realizes, then he doesn't stop there. And look how he redeemed himself to become one of the greatest contributors to the tradition of Islamic knowledge that we have. And this is the opportunity that we all have in front of us. That we will repent. We'll ask Allah for forgiveness. Not soon, not eventually, not even today, but now. When we pray right now, we'll all take an extra minute or two and we'll ask Allah to forgive us. We will admit our faults and our mistakes to Allah. Well, I've done wrong. And then, once we get up and we walk out of here, we will strive to redeem ourselves. We're going to strive to make something better of ourselves. We're going to do something with the ability and the opportunity that Allah has granted us. And if we're able to do that, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, فَأُولَٰئِكَ يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةِ وَلَا يُظْلَمُونَ نَقِيرًا. Then those are the people that will enter paradise. And no wrong will ever be done to them, not even in the least bit. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst them. Barakallahu lana wa lakum fil Qur'an al-azim. Wa nafa'ni wa iyaakum bil ayati wa dhikr al-hakim. Astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa li sa'ili al-muslimin. Fastaghfiruhu innahu huwa al-ghafuru rahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. قال الله عز وجل في كتابه المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته. اللهم عز الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم اهدنا واهدمنا واجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى. اللهم عنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك، اللهم احسن عاقبتنا في الأمور كلها واجرنا من خزي الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة، اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى، وصلى الله تعالى على النبي الكريم. قال الله تعالى: إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. أقم الصلاة.